In Jesus' precious name, we have prayed. Join me this morning as we welcome for the first teaching, Bishop David Abioye.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Please lift up your two hands. Let's give quality thanks and praise to God this morning. No one like Him. No one like Him. Are you sure He's hearing your voice? Give Him thanks some more. 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 Blessed be your name, Lord. In Jesus' wonderful name, we have given thanks. Amen. Heavenly Father, this morning, we thank you, for you are good and your mercies endures forever. In humility, we stand before you and we ask that this morning you will teach us, you will touch us, you will translate us, you will transform us, you will enlighten us, you will empower us. And all the glory shall be returned to you. Amen. All who believe that prayer, say loud, amen. Amen. Please be seated. And if you can, give Jesus another big hand. It's worthy of our praise. Thank you, Lord. Shiloh 2019. I'm breaking limits. I want to this morning quickly appreciate my father, whom God gave me the privilege. Amen. He gave me the privilege to meet him just a few years ago. And ever since I started following, the journey has remained great. Amen. You are wondering how few years that has been. January next year will make it 40 years. Amen. Is that not very few? Considering the number of years ahead in enjoying this privileged relationship. 40 years ago, I met with a man who showed me the way, who inspired my zeal, who inspired my faith. And I want to this morning deeply appreciate my father again, Bishop David Oyedepo, the apostle of this commission, for all of the blessings. I've been a student ever since then, and I'm here to graduate. And this morning, I'm on a teaching practice. So give me your goodwill, give me your prayer that this teaching practice will be impactful this morning. In Jesus' precious name. Thank you very much, sir. This morning, it's my privilege to bring God's word out of the much treasure that we have received through my father. Understanding the faith that works. Understanding the faith that works. This topic suggests that there are different kinds of faith. And not all of them work. And all we're doing this morning is to examine individually. Is my faith working or not? What kind of faith do I have? If it's not working, why is it not working? And how can I make it to work? Because the ultimate of faith is to work. Faith is God's tool in our hands to walk. Faith works wonders. Faith works healing. He said, the just shall live by faith. The just shall walk out his life. He said, let us work out our salvation with fear and trembling. So faith is a tool in a workshop where we can make things to work. Not all kinds of faith works. James chapter 2, for instance, verses 18 and 19, gives us a clear understanding that faith may not work, and it can work. Yea, a man say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Shew me thy faith without your works, and I will shew thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. Even the devils also believe. So, on a general note, you can't claim you have faith if you don't have proofs. Faith without works is dead. There is living faith and there is dead faith. There is passive faith and there is active faith. There is also the kind of faith that Scripture recognizes that is called the heart of unbelief and the heart of faith. And that's where we are heading for this morning. Understanding the faith that works. What kind of faith is it that works? It is the heart-seated faith. Faith that is born out of the heart. So, the journey of faith begins from the heart and with the heart. If your heart is not right, your faith cannot work. Faith cannot be there if your heart is not there. The soil of faith is the heart. Faith is a seed that requires the soil of the heart to make it work. As a matter of fact, faith produces according to the quality of heart. Just like seed produces according to the quality of the soil. The seed is good, but the soil has questions. Faith is good, but the heart of man should be queried. This is why the scripture admonishes that we put our hearts right. We engage our hearts right. Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 13. The heart of man is expected to be engaged if faith must work. Jeremiah 29:13, Isaiah 29:13, incidentally. Who is he that will engage his heart? Faith is looking for engagement. And that engagement is the engagement of your heart. If the heart is not there, faith cannot be there. You shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all of your heart. With all of your heart. It demands all of your heart for you to have all the faith that will produce. All of your heart. If you want all of your faith to work. The same Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 21. For who is this that engages heart to approach unto me, said the Lord of hosts. In Isaiah chapter 29, verse 13, he said, with their mouth they are close to me, but with their heart they are far from me. There are people who make empty confessions of faith, There is the place of confession, but there is a place also of conception. Conception is what makes confession to work. Until faith is conceived in the heart, confession will end in frustration. So the big question this morning is, where's my heart? How true is my heart? How right is my heart? For the eye of the Lord runneth to and fro all the ends of the heart. 2 Chronicles chapter 16 verse 9. Seeking for a man whose heart is upright before him. We have the story of a man, a king, in 2 Chronicles chapter 25 verse 2. Who even though he sought the Lord, but not with a perfect heart. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart. So you see, there are categories of heart of man. And then, of course, as I just said earlier, we have what is called the evil heart of unbelief. We have to deal with this thing to the root. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12. It talks about the evil heart of unbelief. Now, if we take it from verse 11, it tells us that the reason why they could not enter into that promise is because of their unbelief. Because of their unbelief. Because of their unbelief. Then, in verse 12, it talks that we should take heed, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. Stone-hearted. No matter the teaching of the faith, it has no access to him. And then he talks about the heart of faith. There is the heart of unbelief and there is the heart of faith. The same Hebrews chapter 10 verse 22. As I speak by the unction that backs up this commission, I command that evil heart of unbelief around anyone here this morning be damaged. And I release to you right now the heart of faith. Look at that passage again, Hebrews chapter 10 verse 22. Very important. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. If the soil is good, the seed will produce. If the heart is good, the faith will produce. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, questioning everything that is being spoken, suspecting every testimony that is being shared. They say, by faith, somebody was raised from the dead. They say, are you sure he really died? Are you really sure? Somebody said, I came to Shiloh last year, and God has turned me into a billionaire. Reduce this thing now. How can it just happen suddenly? I've been in this church for the past 10 years. I've not seen anything. It can't happen. Evil heart of unbelief. I pray again this morning that God will give to each of us a heart of faith. Our conscience will be cleansed from every unbelief this morning. Somebody who believes that, say loud, amen. What was the secret of Paul the Apostle? He said, I believe all things. Believing all things. Believing all things. Believing all things. But this I confess, Acts 24 verse 14, unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things, believing all things. And Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible. Believing all things which are written, once it is written, I believe. Once it is written. Why am I claiming to be healed? Because God said so. Why are things working for me the way they are working for my father, Bishop Oyedepo? I believe. I believe his testimonies. I believe 100% his testimony. Now, a few weeks ago, I was reflecting on my followership. And I said to myself, I may not have understood everything from the onset, but there was no time I doubted anything. No time. I may not have understood everything that this man said, but there was no time I doubted anything. And what is the proof of it? My followership. Because you can't follow a man that you don't believe. Especially consistently. You can't do that. I believe God. I believe his prophet. I believe my father. That's why every good thing happening to him is reflecting in my life to the glory of God. And the same thing can happen to you. And this morning, I see your faith working. I see your faith working. Do you know that God's passage to your life is your heart? There is nothing God can do for you without your heart. That's why God gave Saul another heart. And the day he gave him another heart was the same day all those signs came to pass. 1 Samuel chapter 10 verse 10. As he was going from him, God gave him another heart. And as soon as he got another heart, all those signs came to pass. Your signs are awaiting your heart. Let your heart be right. And everything good happening to our spiritual father will be happening in your life. Joshua and Caleb took their place with Moses because their heart was right. We also have what we call sense-based faith, which is what obtains in the world today, in the world of philosophy, and especially in many of the teachings going on around the church today, motivational teachings and all of that, sense-based faith, where you can't see the proof. But there is the heart-seated faith, which is born out of revelation knowledge. So we are talking about raw revelation knowledge. Your heart is the worship of faith. Your heart is the resting place of faith. Romans 10:10. If thou believe in your heart, if you believe in your heart, not in your head. Faith has no connection with the head. It is the heart. Your head may be so loaded with information, yet without production in your life. The production in your life is a proof of the faith in your heart. There are many who teach it, and there are few who produce it. That to a teacher of faith and have no evidence will make you a laughing stock. Once I had God's servant said many years ago, he said, Lord, if you don't prove it in my life, don't use me to preach it. And we can see it today without being told. Faith is imparted. Your heart is the cooking pot of faith. Once faith enters into you, the cooking commences. It may take a while, but the meal will soon be ready. God measures our faith to deliver our due blessing. He measures our faith. That's why it says, it is to you according to your faith. Matthew 9:29, it is to you according to your faith. The big question, therefore, as Jesus asked his disciple, is where is your faith? Where is your faith? Luke 8:25. Quickly, therefore, we want to examine in a few points what are the characteristics of faith? The characteristics of heart-seated faith. Heart-seated faith. What are the characteristics? That is, how do I know if I have a heart-seated faith? How do I know? The good thing about God is that he tells us what to do. He tells us how to do it. He tells us where to go. He tells us how to get there. It's an open secret. That's why everybody can testify. If you know the way, you will produce the act. If you are not producing the act, simply put, you don't know the way. Number one, characteristic of heart-seated faith is faith
the heart of faith is always restful. If faith is seated in your heart, it will make your life restful. Rest. Men of faith are men of rest. They are never ruffled, calm, collected, rest. If you are not restful, then faith is not in your heart. It may be in your head. Hebrews 4:11. Those who believe have entered into their rest. They have entered into their rest. They could not enter because of unbelief. Jesus took his disciples on a journey. Mark chapter 4, verses 35 to 38. Mark chapter 4. And the same day when the evening was come, he said unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. Let us pass over unto the other side. And we understand later, as soon as he entered the boat, they ushered him in. What did he do? He went and slept. He went and slept. Why? Once Jesus said, let us go over, he was already at that side. He was already at that side. What's the implication of that? Once God tells you, you are healed, take your rest. You're already healed. He said it to you before the sickness came. So when the storm came late. Because Jesus already arrived at the other side. Faith is restful. I have heard God's servant say it from the onset. That this ministry is going to be very great. When the church was few. When the church had no color. Years after, he will say, we thank God for where we are, but I'm not surprised at where we are. I already knew we would get there. Rest. From today, God will give you rest. Over every area of your life, God will give you rest. But the disciples, because they were operating by sense knowledge, experience on the sea. Peter and others have been great fishermen. They understood the geography of the sea in the night. So their sense was working and calculating. Jesus was resting. Sense will trouble you. Faith will give you rest. Calculating where will money come from. Calculating. You are too small to cater for yourself. That's the whole essence of faith. Faith means God, take over. He rested. The storm came. So hard, beating the boat, yet Jesus was resting. No matter the boat, the wind blowing the boat of this generation, economic, security, people are apprehensive, trouble. There remains a rest to the people of God. What do you rest on? Rest on the word. Rest on the word. 2 Chronicles chapter 32 verse 8. Rest on the word. Ezekiah speaking, when the enemies came to trouble them, with him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And the people rested themselves upon the words of Ezekiel. Once the word says it, go and take your rest. God has spoken that every limit around your life will be broken. What do you do? Like your master Jesus did, take your rest. Take your rest. Take your rest. Data trust in the Lord.
shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be moved. Psalm 125 verse 1. Number two, characteristic of heart-seated faith, it challenges opposition, even though restful. As Jesus was resting, the disciples who were lost for what to do, "Master, don't we care that we perish?" Sense perishes. Sense-based faith perishes. As far as they are concerned, they were finished. They were already destroyed. "Don't you care that we perish?" And Jesus rose up. No discussion. Faith does not discuss. Faith does not explain. It manifests. He rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, "While you are resting, the enemy will come to trouble you. What do you do? Stand to the storm. Peace be still." And the wind ceased. These are not things you rehearse. It's in your heart. Can a pregnant woman know that can she say she doesn't know she's pregnant? You don't rehearse pregnancy. The same way you don't rehearse faith. If it is there, it will answer. Problems come to provoke our faith. And faith says, "I'm here. I'm here." He rebuked the storm. I say, "Hey, what a man of wonder is this?" That's what faith does. It turns ordinary people into wonders. Number three, heart-seated faith reacts spontaneously to a negative report. It reacts spontaneously to a negative report. A loving, sincere doctor came and said to his servant, "You have high blood pressure." No thinking about it. "No, I cannot have high blood pressure." Spontaneous reaction. No. No. A few years ago, I was seated in my office and my eyes were scratching me. And the voice of the devil came, "Apollo." You know, he's a very strategic person. "Want to scratch it?" "No." I got back home trying to undress. And I stood before the mirror. He said, "Look at the mirror." I said, "It's not necessary." Something was answering inside me. "It's not necessary. It's not necessary." The following day, I got to the office and I saw a staff putting on goggles. "What's happening?" He said he had Apollo. "Ah, that's the Apollo that wanted to catch me yesterday." I was not available. Spontaneous reaction. Hallelujah. So you need to be. You need this heart-seated faith. Number four, this faith speaks forth. It speaks forth. It makes declaration. If you cannot say it, you don't believe it. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13. "We also believe. Wherefore, naturally we speak." We speak. People of faith naturally speak. They speak what they have heard. They speak what they are told. They naturally speak. Believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 10. "Open wide your mouth and I will fill it." Psalm 81 verses 10 to 16. John 11 from 40 to 44. Jesus gave thanks and then he spoke. "Lazarus, I'm waiting for you. Come forth." I observed that Jesus never answered useless questions. He made no comment that would contradict his faith. They came to Jesus. Mary said, "If you are here, my brother would not have died." Jesus didn't answer her. He said, "Let's go to where he's laid." There are people, when they talk to you, they can kill your faith. Somebody wants solution. He wants healing. And he sits you, he says, "Excuse me, sir, can I have 10 minutes with you?" "For what?" "Just to tell you the genesis of this sickness." When I meet such people, I tell them, "Don't tell me the genesis. I already have the revelation." Don't take me. Genesis is too far. Revelation is here already.
I saw Jesus. He never asked a quite careless question. He always asked me, what do you want? He doesn't waste time. Receive your healing. Stretch forth your hand. Come on, Lazarus, jump out. He was never wasting time. They said there was no food for 5,000 people. One of the disciples said, Master, we have 5 loaves of bread and 2 pieces of fish. But how can this go? Jesus said, make them sit down. He did no explanation. Faith makes no explanation. It makes declaration. It makes manifestations. Faith will always speak. Faith will always speak. Number 5, and we conclude with that. Heart-seated faith presses persistently against all odds. It knows nothing about turning back. Faith presses, keeps pressing. That was the secret of the woman with the issue of blood and blind Bartimaeus. They pressed. They pressed. The woman whose child needed healing, she pressed. We have all of those stories. Matthew 9:21, Mark 25, Mark 5:24-30. Pressed. I must get it. Because the heart wants it, the body generates the energy for it. Once your heart wants it, you see your body moving. It becomes so natural and stress-free. That's why faith must be built in the heart. In closing, how do you build heart-seated faith? Keep hearing the word until it paints a picture which cannot be doubted. Keep hearing the word. Keep hearing the word. Faith building is a process. Faith will first hit your head. If you are not careful, your head will riot and reject it. But keep pressing. Let it pass through until it finds a resting place in your heart. Keep hearing the word. That's why I say faith comes by hearing. First stage, and hearing. Second stage, and hearing. Third stage, and hearing. And hearing until a picture is painted which cannot be doubted. You may doubt words, but you cannot doubt pictures. Keep hearing. Keep hearing. Keep hearing. Hear more. Hear more. And hear more until doubt is damaged. When faith increases, doubt reduces. As faith escalates, doubt goes downward. Let your faith grow from hope to trust. The faith of Abraham began with hope and ended with trust. He became fully persuaded. Fully persuaded. Fully persuaded. He hoped against hope. He believed in God that calleth the things which be not as though they were. He strengthened his faith, and from there he entered into trust, into rest. Romans chapter 4, verses 17 to 21. Number 2, keep thinking the word. Meditation. Philippians 4, 8. Think on these things. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 15. Meditate upon these things. Number 3, keep praising God until you see the manifestation. Keep praising God in his word. Psalm 54, verse 6 and verse 10. I will praise God in his word. I will praise God in his word. Romans chapter 4, verse 20. He was strong in the faith, giving glory to God. Your faith will work. From now, since evil heart of unbelief has been taken from you, your faith will start working. And your faith will not stop working. If you believe that, please rise to your feet with me. Raise your voice and begin to declare, my faith is working. My faith must work. It worked for Abraham. It must work for me. It worked for Peter. It worked for Paul. It worked for my father in the house. My faith must work. My heart-seated faith must work. Give him glory. Give him praise. Exalt his name. Lift him on high. Somebody celebrate him. Celebrate him. Thank him because the evil heart of unbelief is gone from you. Thank him because the heart of faith is planted into you. You are on faith ground. This is faith ground. Faith must enter into you. Somebody.
somebody speak. Faith must enter into me. I'm on faith ground. I'm on faith ground. I'm on faith ground. Faith must enter into me. In Jesus' precious name. One thing faith does is to sing. And for that reason, the choir is ready. They will lead us singing and glorifying God. In Jesus' name. If you truly believe, you will sing. If you believe, you will dance. If you believe, you will jump. If you believe, you will leap. If you believe, you will celebrate. Come on, let's go.